Okay, so this is the final talk in the Fall Faith Commitment Series, What's in the Way is the Way. And my talk title is Life is for You, not Life is Happening to You. So let me ask you this question. How are you having your life right now? So the reason why I'm asking this is because typically when, I mean, have you ever gone to the grocery store and they ask you, how's your day going? Well, it goes the way you make it go. It goes the way you have it, right? And so it's important for us to acknowledge this, because when we don't know this, that we have our life as it is unto us, we tend to believe that, therefore, that when our life looks and feels against us, we think something's wrong with what's going on in our life, as opposed to thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm having this against me. And that's the problem, because life is for us, always. But if for some reason I am believing that my life is against me, then I'm forgetting that I have my life unto me as it is. That's what I do to me. Nobody else has the power to do that. I have the power to have my life as it is unto me. And the question, therefore, is, if that's true, if that's the truth, then how is it possible I am having my life from time to time as if it's not for me? And wouldn't it be important for us to explore that, unpack that? Because otherwise we are living dependent upon our life looking and feeling the way that we need it to happen for us in order for us to feel okay or for us to feel of value. Our life has to be a certain way. But when we recognize that, no, wait a minute, we've been conditioned to look outside of ourselves for evidence of our worth, evidence of our well-being. We're conditioned to source our discomfort outside of ourselves, to source our well-being outside of ourselves. When the reality is that no, we have the power to have our life as unto us as we wish. And so if that's the truth, then how is it that we sometimes have our life as if it's happening to us or against us? I mentioned last time I spoke, that there are three sources. For me, I've discovered three sources of discomfort. And whenever we're feeling some kind of discomfort, and as I mentioned, when we source that discomfort outside of ourselves, we're living as if our life is happening to us. We're living as if we're a victim of our life experience, or at least that the life experience that we're having has the power to diminish me. And that's living as an effect, as opposed to seeing ourselves as cause or source, or what I'm going to describe later as life happens by me, not to me. And so if one way in which we experience discomfort is when we are being who we are not, let's say. Anybody ever be who you were not? So let me unpack this. So we're talking about our life happening to us, or life is against me, and we're trying to explain how that is possible, how that phenomenon is possible, when the deeper reality is that it's always for us. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever needed to be right before? Just raise your hand. Okay. And so what's going on? What's up with that, really? Think about it for a moment. When you are needing to be right, what's your internal state? I mean, isn't it true that when you're needing to be right, it's likely connected to your own sense of inadequacy? And that the circumstance is a threat, and so you compensate by showing up needing to be right or having to have things be a certain way? Ever done that one? It's called controlling. So whenever we're having to have things be a certain way or needing to be right, there's a part of us that has been activated. Our sense of inadequacy, our unworthiness, a sense that we're not enough. And so our behavior is really connected to a deeper belief that we have about ourselves, And we're living as if that's the truth of us with what is happening in our life. And that's how it's possible that our life looks and feels against us, because our life has to expose when we are being who we are not. So whenever your life looks and feels against you, just ask yourself, who do I need to be in order for me to take it in as if it's not for me? And 100% of the time, you'll see that you have to be not enough. You have to be inadequate. You have to be unworthy. Really, can you see that? That whenever we are having someone or something against us, or when we believe that life is happening to us, it is connecting to a part of us that's not the truth of us. It's a belief that we have about ourselves, a belief that we took on. And so therefore, if we're being with what we're having out of some belief that's not the truth of us, then we're being with what we're having out of who we are not, instead of who we truly are. And so if our way of being with what's happening in our life causes us to have our life against us, well, then the problem is how we're being with life, not the life situation. And once we are able to see that, no, wait a minute, when I'm being with my life out of my sense of inadequacy, I cause what I have to be insufficient, or I cause me to be not enough. And then when we're able to see that, no, wait a minute, my life is really happening by me. I am actually creating the life that looks and feels against me by virtue of my living in the disconnect, my living in an awareness that's separate apart from the truth of who I am. And if I can come to the realization that, well, wait a minute, my life is really happening by me, albeit unconsciously for the most part, living in the disconnect for the most part, but nonetheless, it is happening because of how I am being with what's happening, now I can begin to take the power back. Now I can begin to own what's happening in my life, because it's an effect of my creative process as opposed to something out there trying to limit me in some fashion. And so now I get to move into another dimension of expanding ourselves and recognizing, oh, wait a minute, the power is not there. The power is within how we are being with what's happening in our life. The second cause or source of our suffering is when we inadvertently confuse ourselves with what we're having. Have you ever suffered or felt uncomfortable when you didn't have what you wanted? Anybody? Or you had something that you didn't want. So can you now see that part of our suffering, part of our discomfort is linked to the having or not having of stuff? And what if we can't get what we want until we want what we have? Think about that for a moment. And the fact that we're either pushing away something or trying to gather something means that our well-being is mortgaged upon what's happening out there in our life, instead of us owning our capacity to decide how we're going to be with what's happening in the moment. And then recognize, no, I'm the creator of my own personal reality. And yes, when I create out of my habits of being and my unconscious programs, I'm going to get a life that looks pretty much like the craziness that's happening right now for most everybody in the world. But when I'm focused on understanding, no, I can create from a place within myself that lives, that's in the connected, felt state of oneness and interbeing and interdependency, a part of something bigger and greater, then I can surrender myself to that intelligence. But I have to begin to understand that wherever I have linked my sense of well-being with something that has to occur out there, I'm setting myself up for suffering. And so we just need to look at where in our life is our well-being connected to having something or getting rid of something. And then we will see that that dynamic causes us now to have our life have our life for us or not in the context of whether or not what we have is is serving our greater good in our own sense of self, in our own belief system. And then we have to arrive at a place where we begin to understand that even our own concept of what is good for us can reach a limit. And so when we begin to shift into this awareness, no, my life is happening by me. I'm the creator of my life. Then the choice is that I need to begin to create differently if I want to have a different experience out there. The situations out there don't need to change, but I need to change how I'm being and therefore what I'm doing. The kinds of habits that define me, I have to examine those so that I'm showing up energetically being somebody that is not tied to the old self that lives in a conditioned belief that life is sometimes against him. And so as I begin to develop this awareness of my own influence with respect to how my life looks and feels, then I have to be more conscious. I have to pay more attention to how my thoughts and what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling is happening. And the moment that I find myself feeling uncomfortable, I have to tie that discomfort to a belief that is running me instead of a situation out there that's happening. I have to begin to tie my discomfort to the impulse that is seeking to have me reconcile. How is it possible that I'm having a limited experience when it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom? We already possess this capacity to enter into the fullness of life, but we're limited by our own self-imposed beliefs. So as we move into the awareness, okay, if our transformational process is indeed a journey that systematically deconditions us to be sensitized to how our life looks and feels and systematically awakens and activates aspects of ourself that are latent, that are here to show up, to give us the ability to be with whatever is happening without feeling diminished by it, so we can be unto it, the one, to be unto it, the Christ, to be unto it the way through which something happens through us that brings forth a greater good. And in order to get to that dimension of our capacity to be unto our life, making a difference, and therefore, helping the world out, we have to shift into this next stage of development. So if we can see that life happening to me and life happening by me is still a dimension of our own egoic self that is trying to manage what's happening out there, is there a way to abandon paying attention to that as being the sole source of what we need to take in order for us to find peace, but rather turn inward to a dimension of ourself that looks out at life and just sees pure potential as opposed to pure circumstance? And so as we move into that dimension of really owning a life that is always for us, and how can we live in that mindset that whenever we have an uncomfortable experience, it's just a reminder that there's a part of us that has slipped into the disconnect and there's nothing to fix. It's something to recover, something to reboot within ourselves. So the last discomfort that I'm wanting to speak to is the idea that we suffer when we resist life's flow. And so can you think of when you might have had some discomfort when you have resisted life's flow? And so in this context, we're looking at life happens through me. And so in no uncertain terms, a part of our spiritual purpose in this world is to be a conduit, an avenue, a channel through which Spirit uses us to make a difference in the world. And perhaps you've experienced that phenomenon, being used by life as an instrument to bring something forth. You know, there's a lot of examples for me in my work, and the peace statements, unity peace statements. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. That statement that we repeat every Sunday, that hundreds of New Thought churches repeat, I wrote that, but it wasn't me, it came through me. And any of you who are artists or dancers or musicians or you understand what it means to be creative. You understand what it means to open to the flow. If you do energy work, Reiki or healing, you understand what it means to be the way of God energetically instead of the way in the way of God. See? And so when we understand that the flow is there to help us step out of our worry, step out of our fretting, step out of our frustration. Our mind wants to solve all the problems that it comes up with. That's what keeps our mind and our ego with something to do. But when we recognize that our mind and our ego is ill-equipped to take on some aspects of our journey that requires a total surrendering to, so that we can be an inlet and an outlet of spirit, then we have to get ourselves out of the way. And so part of that process of getting ourselves out of the way is to remind ourselves that my life is for me. And it's for me whether I know it or not, whether I see it or not, I can just trust it. But what I have to do is I have to step out of the way in order for the flow to happen. Finally, there's this whole dimension of life happening as us, as me. And so I'm wanting all of us to understand that we have each had this experience already. That's the story I'm making up about you, that you've all had an experience of life happening as you, where you have been the one unto your life. You have been no different than if Jesus Christ was in your place. You did have done the very same thing. And so for instance, how many of you have had the experience of loving someone unconditionally? Raise your hand. You know, probably somebody under the age of 2. And what did it feel like to be in that role of loving unconditionally? And so we can describe a feeling of absolute total connection, of love, of appreciation. And as we imagine a young child in the receiving of that experience of your love, it doesn't get any better than that moment. In other words, you can take yourself out and put Jesus Christ in it. It doesn't get any better. When we're the avenue, the conduit, when we be that love unto what is before us, it is no different than the presence of God incarnate. And when we recognize that that's something that we bring to this individual's life, is that dimension of spirit that is the very presence, that we get to do that from time to time, then it's important for us to look for those opportunities, because that very experience of being in that moment, the very essence of God incarnate, is something that we don't want to miss when we have the opportunity. Now, let's just set aside that little child for a moment, and now let's bring somebody else for the same purpose of loving unconditionally, okay? And I got one. Here it is. This is a past wife experience, but it's different now. The same unconditional love is not happening. As a matter of fact, I have no desire to send this energy to this person. And why? Not only was she an attorney, and then we were only married for a few months, and I have all these stories that and all this evidence. You see, the point is that we use our stories as evidence or as reasons why we can't be the one, or why we're not going to be this avenue of unconditional love unto whomever is in our awareness. And if we fail to step into that dimension of what we're all called to embody, to be the one unto our life, if that is something that we miss, then we miss the experience of what happens when we live in that awareness that we are Christ unto our own world. I mean, what better person than me, who's been hurt by this person, to be the one to give unconditional love. There is no better person than the very person that I am as the offended party. There is no better person than me to be the one to release her. And what if every one of us in this room has one person like that, where we have yet to release, we have yet to open our heart, where we have yet to be unto this person the one? And what if when we continue to know that that's what is pulling at our hearts, and what if when we don't follow that, that's what causes us to get sick? That's what causes us to be in lack. That's what causes us to struggle. And so as we awaken to who we are and who we've come here to be, and acknowledge that we live in a world that believes that there are forces out there that we have to guard and protect ourselves against. And while that is true in the level of situation and circumstance, in the level of principle and truth and spirit, we are called to inhabit a different dimensional awareness that to unfold not only the world but our own spiritual journey. And as we move towards exercising that part of ourself that is living in the programmed, conditioned world, and begin to rebuild a relationship consciously with the dimension of ourself that we can call spirit or presence or our higher self, all of a sudden we have resources that the world knows not of. And so I'll leave you with considering these questions and taking these thoughts and ideas a little deeper. So consider how you are predominantly having your life and the situations that tend to trigger the need to control or to be right. So once again, all of us have our life however we have it. There's nobody that makes us have our life a certain way. And so as you consider how you predominantly have your life in the situations that trigger or either need for control, bless you, or need to be right, as you look at those situations, you're going to come face to face with how you're not having your life for you. And in that awareness, you need to ask yourself the question, well, who do I need to be with this situation in order not to have it for me? And you'll get in touch, well, I'm being my inadequacy here. I'm being my sense of not enough. Okay, well, we can work with those aspects of ourselves, not in the Sunday talk, but in the cue process in other ways. So, but the point is that we can see very clearly that our situations out there are really a mirror of our own interiors. In the areas of your life where circumstances appear to be against you, in what ways can you own how you are being with whatever is happening? So that's always a good question to bring forth, especially when you're trying to push something away. How can I own this? What part of me really needs to be in this experience that requires of me a willingness to kind of welcome this moment? Now, obviously, if it's an abusive situation, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the things that bug us psychologically, not the things that are physical dangers to us. And then finally, identify three areas of your life where you are willing to go with the flow. I should read what I can see as opposed to try to find it back there. And then share an example of life happening as you. So in conclusion, for the sake of wrapping up the series, you know, Mary O'Malley wants us to make friends with whatever's in our way. And why? Because what's in the way?
Is the way.
That's right. Okay, and so as we recognize that our own discomfort, Jane mentioned about wherever you're tight, everything in us is trying to get our attention to wake us up. And as we recognize that there's nothing against me, And yes, I've been conditioned to believe that, but when I really work with principle and really draw myself into a community that can support this process, you can make progress. You can get to a place where life is not a struggle. And I got to tell you, this is what's happening for us. And we just really want all of us to experience this together. So life is happening for us. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gary. And how many of you are in the spirit group, What's in the Way is the Way, or in the series of talks? So several. Yeah, I just have to say that for me, this series and having the connection to the Sunday talk has been hugely beneficial. And I find myself reading each chapter and then going back and listening to your talks. And it feels more empowering, more powerful. And so if you haven't read the book, What's in the Way is the Way, we highly